Quick-witted and loved by Melbourne? That's Fifi, Fev and Byron. The only thing quicker and more loved? Ultra-fast NBN on supercharged speed with iPrimus. Plus 1 month free for a limited time. Visit iPrimus.com.au. Fifi, Fev and Byron.
101.9 The Box.
You wouldn't want to be in Barnaby Joyce's shoes right now. The last 24 hours have been a bit full on for him. Now, to bring you up to speed, a few months ago, he announced the breakup of his marriage to his wife of 24 years. They have four daughters together. He is now in a new partnership, and his new partner, who is a former staffer of his, a former media advisor, she's having a baby in April. Now, that has blown up the politics, parliament, all the political journos are all over this. It's now in the gossip columns. You know, and there's some elements to this, I understand. Human nature is to gossip and, that's interesting. There's all of that attached to it. Then there is what Barnaby is claiming, and he was interviewed by Lee Sales last night on 7:30. He is saying this is his private life and he doesn't want to discuss it. And I could not agree more. He's a politician, and I'm the first to say I'm not even that familiar with his politics. Right. I don't consider myself across politics, particularly the National Party.
Well, he represents a Bush electorate. You know, he's a country boy. He doesn't represent us here federally in Melbourne. Mm. Yeah. He's a deputy PM.
Where's a cowboy hat?
Lee Sales gave him a hard time last night. We've got some audio of it, trying to get him to comment on how appropriate his relationship was with his former staffer.
To drag private members, private matters out into the public arena. Private matters remain private. And so it's a private matter, and I don't think it helps me going through this sort of salami slicing of a private life. So I'm not going to even entertain some sort of private, you know, have a sort of a discussion about my private life in the public arena.
Look, the salami bit got me. I'm not sure where he was going with the salami slicing. But no, Lee Sales obviously believes that it's a public matter to be discussed because he is in a public office and he may or may not have had a relationship at some stage. Well, he definitely has at some stage had a relationship with his former staffer. I think people are questioning when it began. And here's the thing. I really feel strongly about this. I believe there are public figures. Now, he's an elected public figure. Then you have public figures in entertainment. And I do believe that people are entitled to a private life. Now, there are children involved. I know that his ex-wife has come out and made her own public statement about her disappointment at the end of the marriage.
And that's who I feel sorry for, obviously his wife and his kids, but it is very private. Mm. The media make it so public for everyone to read. No one cares. It's their life. Let them deal with it in their own time. I don't understand why everyone needs to talk about it. I don't know why we're talking about it.
It was on the front page of the paper yesterday.
Yeah, but who cares?
But did it help sell papers? I think that's the big issue. People probably do care,
whether they should or not. It's the media that actually put it in there, and they make it worse for his ex-wife.
I agree with you.
And they're all writing all this stuff going, you're making it worse for them.
No, and I hear you saying, why are we talking about it? But I actually think we're talking about it for a reason, to give it the other side, because I would like to bring the other side of the argument to this, and that is, very easy to judge from afar and to not know the specifics of a situation or relationships because they're private. You never know what goes on between two people in a relationship, in a marriage, in a partnership. And then we all sit here all on the sidelines going, he did this and then he did that. We've no idea what's happened here. It's a public man with a private life. It's now playing out that he already has children. He's got a child coming into the world. And I think we all just back off.
Well said.
And until you've walked, because I tell you what, until you've walked in those shoes, and it's very easy to throw the stones, but sometimes the stones will in future be thrown back at you.
Absolutely. Any salami being thrown around?
No, but I liked my stone thing I did at the end.
Yeah, I liked it
too. Good.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Shock is still rippling through Melbourne. I can't believe it. In fact, I didn't believe it when I was told this morning that Anthony Mundine, Shock, had left the jungle, and we thought, okay, I can see it on news.com. I believe that's what people are saying, but until I hear it from the words of Dr. Chris Brown, I will not believe it. So we're crossing live to South Africa. Chris, is it true?
Well, in the second round or the second week, Anthony the Man Mundine knocked out. He's gone.
What happened?
He's stormed out of the jungle about 2 hours ago. I actually just woke up from an evening nap, considering we get up at 3 a.m. and woke up to the news. I saw him this afternoon for the Viper Room Tucker trial, the one where you just bury a couple of celebrities alive with snakes, nothing too confronting at all.
Sure.
And he returned from that. It was fairly dramatic, to be honest. He found it hard, no harder than seemingly than poor Malka did last year, or Ash Pollard or Lorena did with in your year, Feb. And he went back, had a few discussions with a few people around the camp. I don't know what was said. I'm just catching up myself. And packed up his gear and stormed and walked out. So the man Mundell is out of the jungle.
And what's his best mate Danny Green said about this?
Look, apparently they had a big chat. No, the best mate. You can't help yourself, can you? Look, they had a chat, and from all reports, I think I got word actually just before I hopped on the line with you guys, because I thought this might happen. I thought this conversation might come up. Apparently, Danny has really broken down the relationship exactly where they're at. So that happened after the man left. So you'll hear exactly the story behind that. But the circumstances surrounding the man leaving, we're still not entirely sure of his reasons. But he's insisted. We offered him all the support we could, but he packed up his gear and left.
Because it seems like, Doc, we watched the show, obviously, and the kids love it, but he seems like he was cruising. He was having a great old time when him and Danny did the Green versus Mundine. He ate all that crap, and he just said, I'm gravy, bro. I'm gravy. Gravy. I'm cruising.
Yeah. Well, it's all gravy. You ask the man, it's all gravy. but the gravy boat carried him out of the jungle, unfortunately, and... He, look, I mean, you know better than anyone else there. Like, it's tough in there. It's really tough. But he's been camp leader. He's been able to allocate stores to everyone. He's been sitting in that soft bed of his for the last, week and a half.
Looks like a great bed. The bed looks great.
He's seemingly been in cruise mode. And then all of a sudden, he's made the call. But look, the man is the man for a reason. He's a polarizing figure. He's controversial. He does things his own way, and seemingly he was insistent on the jungle being his own way as well, and that's seemingly why he's made the call.
Chris, what I find amazing about this, and I haven't been in like Fev, but when you think
we can fix that.
No, I'm good. I know there's a spare spot, but no, not interested. But these are two. We've had two people leave this season, which is already shocking. But two elite athletes who I imagine have the mental strength. And when you say Lorena got through the Viper Room, you think it can't have broken him.
No, well, you'll see the Viper Room was probably the most dramatic Viper Room we have had.
Okay.
And certainly it all goes down, if you know what I mean. But at the same time, we've had a fair few celebrities that have gone through the 6 weeks, 70-year-old Val Lehman included.
Yes.
And yet seemingly it's been too much for Anthony the Man Mundine and Bernard Tomic within a week and a half.
So, of course, little Anthony Kalia is an absolute hero as well. I mean, let's not forget Anthony. Tremendous.
Mate, Anthony's amazing.
He is tough as. Anyway.
Well, and the upside to all of this, Chris, is that Fev is a little bit closer to keeping his title as King of the Jungle. So he's happy. And just on that really quickly, it's important for us to know, does Fev have any mates left on I'm a Celebrity? does anyone still like him there?
No, there is an honour board which has the former king of the jungle on it. I've seen the name scratched out and other names put in there.
Chris.
It's been a tough time. I've been fighting to defend you, Fev, but Danny Green's very keen to see you at the conclusion of the show.
I don't think he'll be leaving anytime soon. It doesn't scare me.
We'll see. Look, you may even get name checked tonight.
Maybe
you're one of the reasons that he's left. Who knows?
Should we pop Fev in, Dr. Chris Brown? Should we send him over?
Now that would be good.
When you conquer something, Chris, you don't need to go back. I can easily walk in. I've got the new Chucker Troll for you, Danny Green. You can pad me up, I can have my jungle crown on, and he can belt the crap out of me. And if he knocks me out within a round, they get 10 stars.
Wow, there we go. There's some ideas for the producers. Look, all Fev did was almost undermine the whole show by saying that Danny Green and Anthony Mundine are mates. I don't know what the big deal is.
I've been in the room when they were acquaintances. Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Chris.
I've been watching them very closely, and I haven't seen any of this supposed mateship. But look, Fev, you were there, apparently. Who knows? But you'll find out the reason for the man Mundine's departure. As will I, because I still don't know exactly his reasons.
Oh, you big hunk. Even when you're yelling at me, Chris. I still love you.
I know. We love you, Chris.
Yeah, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here continues tonight at 7:30 on 10, and that was Dr. Chris Brown with the big news. Anthony Mundine is out.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
I know when that hotline ring.
Yeah.
That can only mean one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Hotline Ring.
Okay.
We need you to sing the next line.
Well said. Hotline ring. Yeah, look, you like to have a bit of fun with this, Fee and Fev. I don't know if anyone else finds it fun, but you find it a lot of fun.
It's one of our favourite things to do, isn't it, Fev? Because we don't love meetings, but if we can hang back and sit in the studio and just ring random numbers.
Just annoy people.
Picture this. You're in your office, you're working during the day, the phone rings, and then Hanson are singing Mbop.
Why Hanson?
Fev and I, we don't give up. We don't care if you hang up on us. We don't care if you yell at us. We will not give up until you complete the lyrics.
Just
play
the game.
We picked Mbop because there's controversy over is it dop bop 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 or is it Mbop? Mbop. Like people get it wrong.
Could be neither of those.
I don't even think I got it right. But yesterday, we were not leaving the studio until we got people to sing Mbop back to us.
Hello. 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 I don't know who this is. Bye.
Hello? Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, 1 second. Hello? Who is this? Seriously, who is this? I'm busy. Can you, who is this? Hello? I'm busy. F off. Hello? Nah, f off. Hello? Hello? Huh? Hello, who is this? Hello?
You should pick a song for next week. That went well.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Gee, I heard a cracking story from a friend yesterday. This is one of the best. Now that I'm off the dating scene, I miss bad dates. And it's really great to hear from friends who
you
are
miss
still dating.
Having bad dates.
Well, no, do you know what I miss? I sort of miss that you won't believe what he did. So a girlfriend of mine, Tinder date, and they were meeting at a location. And when she got there, he said, okay, well, we'll get in my car. I'm going to take you somewhere for a surprise. And she thought,
that's cute.
That's really nice. Anyway, they're driving. She's suddenly like, we're heading to Warragul. What's going on? We're going down the freeway.
This is a terrifying story.
Well, it ended up, he drove her to Phillip Island. Aww. Now, when you've just met someone, let's say 2 hours, 2.5 hours with traffic, possibly 3 hours in a car, it's big.
That's a
big commitment. It's a big call. Anyway, he's ended up taking her to the Penguin Parade. Now, as somebody who spent all my summer holidays at Phillip Island going to the Penguin Parade, I actually find that sentimentally, that would have worked with me. So they're there the evening, everyone's there at the Penguin Parade, all the tourists, and suddenly this guy that she's on a first date with jumps up as the penguins are they're starting to waddle up the beach. He jumps up from the crowd, runs out, and like man tackles one of the penguins.
What?
She's like,
was this a dream you had?
No, this happened. She's freaked out, going, I'm with a psychopath who's actually tackled a penguin. He's held it up. Ah, just a toy penguin.
Oh.
So it was a bit of a gag.
Oh. Prankster.
So everyone's gone, who's the guy who planted a toy penguin at the beach? And then she's done the mentally processed this and realised he's driven down. So he'd driven down the day before to Phillip Island from the CBD, hid a penguin in the sand so that when he took her back the following day, there would be a penguin.
It's a very elaborate setup for a pretty disappointing punchline.
Then had the very awkward trip back. Then she's got another few hours in the car heading back to Melbourne for her. I knew commitment. You'd like that. There's commitment and then there's just...
That's a good effort.
Yeah, but Fed, they'd never met.
Yeah, but
it was
that's
a
okay.
Tinder date.
It's creepy.
Tinder at best
creepy.
Is coffee.
Mate, what about the effort? I'll take my Tinder date out for... we'll go out for a coffee. We'll sit there, we'll talk crap and then say, hey, let's go home.
That'll do.
No. He's actually gone to effort. Hey, let's get to know each other on the way down. Go to a penguin parade. I'll do a little gag. Ha, ha, ha. Then we can drive home and then do our business.
You know what? I did not expect that from you. Ooh. So I love that. I love that you're backing this guy.
I think it's nice.
So I said, well, how did you then say to him, thanks, but I'll never see you again? And she said, oh, no, I went out with him again, which blew my mind.
Why?
This is an interesting thing, Byron, because it taps into something that I'm familiar with because I've done it and I've got other friends that do it. It's what I like to call the sympathy second date.
Well, that doesn't happen.
It doesn't exist.
No, it does. It does exist. No, it does. And she was a perfect example. She said he went to so much trouble and she wanted to let him down gently.
Oh.
So then she did catch up with him for lunch another time and now she's let it peter out. But in fact, 131060, have you?
Surely not.
Or do you do the sympathy second date?
No way.
For letting them down gently, I'll go again.
Coming to think of it, Boxy, I reckon Alex gave me a second sympathy date. I reckon she did. Because our first date was at Crown. We went to a seafood and when the bill came, I was like, I'm not going to let this one take me for a ride. Made her pay. Made her pay for most things. But it's because I lost all my money. I reckon I got a second sympathy
date. Is there such a thing? It seems Alex
Maybe.
Might have given Brendan one.
I just love that your attitude on a first date was, she's not going to fleece me.
No, because I didn't have any money.
We'll see how we go. 131060.
Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
My friend went on a Tinder date. He took her all the way to Phillip Island where he'd set up an elaborate prank where he'd buried a toy penguin in the sand the day before. Oh. That's two long trips to Phillip Island and back.
I think the most amazing thing is he actually found the penguin.
He might have done it, put a stick there. He's probably left something he knows. But anyway, it really freaked my girlfriend out and it was a really weird...
Because he did what? He buried a penguin on a beach,
came back the next day in front of her and everyone else at the Penguin Parade, jumped out, ran down the sand. It looked like he tackled a penguin and she thought she was with someone.
Imagine all the tourists.
Everyone screamed and freaked out and he went, ha-ha, toy penguin, elaborate prank I set up for our Tinder date.
Oh my.
My girlfriend had the 2.5 hour drive back to Melbourne thinking, how do I get away? What am I going to do? But then she went on a second sympathy date. And this is the area we're talking about because I think people think this doesn't happen. When you don't like someone, you don't go out with them again. You would be surprised. Isabella in Baldwin. Hi, Isabella.
Hi, thanks.
Isabella, have you done or do you often go on sympathy second dates?
Well, I definitely don't anymore. I did.
I went on a date with this guy the first time and I wasn't really interested at all, but he was really lovely and he told me a really sob story about his ex-girlfriend who was horrible, so I was like, okay. Mm. And he seemed really interesting and really interested in me, so I was like, fine, yep. Second date, he's like, let's go out to dinner. I was like, yeah, no worries. He's like, I'll pick you up. So he drove 2 hours to pick me up at my house.
Oh.
And then drove us 2 hours to somewhere across Melbourne for dinner.
Oh.
And we walked into this restaurant and he's like, oh, my parents are having dinner across the road. Like, that's so weird. I was like, oh, no way. That's so crazy. Anyway, we walk in and he turns out that he knows everyone in the restaurant and he's like, getting us tables that people are already sitting at, making like the biggest scene, like, and we had to sit at this.
Oh dear.
And then halfway through dinner, his parents and grandparents walk in.
Oh,
and
you're a part of the family at this point.
This is a movie.
And he starts acting all embarrassed, like, oh my god, I can't believe they're here. And I was like, you so planned this, you crazy person. Oh. And then they sat down with us.
Oh, Isabel, okay. did you honestly go on a second date with him?
Yeah, that was
that was the second date. That's why you shouldn't do this stuff.
Oh, okay, but clearly you didn't go again. I see. Your sympathy second date led to him proposing marriage. Like, that was where that was heading.
Yeah.
That's a good warning for sympathy second dates.
Don't go on them.
Jess in Coburg. Hi, Jess.
Hi guys, good day. First time, long time. I cannot top that. That was crazy.
Well, thanks very much. We'll go to Alpha Bucks. No, just kidding.
Jess, you can. We want to hear your story. What
are you doing? Gosh, no. So I've been introduced by a friend to this guy, and I wasn't that keen, but he'd messaged a lot. I'm like, yeah, right. And then on the first date, my car had actually broken down. I'm like, oh no, you can't go. He's like, it's okay. I'll go to a friend's house. He drove out of his way for like half an hour to his friend's, got jumper leads, started my car. And so I had to go on the date. This is just the first one. It was really boring. We had nothing to talk about. But then when he wanted a second date, he's like, how good is that story when I jump-started your car?
Ooh.
And I was like...
Guilt tripping.
Yeah. And so I felt like I sort of had to go again. But then, I don't know, I just couldn't. We had nothing to say. And even the friend who introduced us did as well. And we both just had to phase it out.
He wanted to reignite your engine, did he?
Whoa.
With a jumper lead. Yeah. Start the car.
I did. You know what, Jess? Okay, Isabella had a cracking story about the family coming to dinner, but you got a fair punchline. I mean, not everyone gets one of those.
That's true. Go Blues.
Hey.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Time for our segment on the show, Do You Mind If I Ask? Now, here's the truth. In our community at the moment, we are governed a lot by politically correct behaviour. We're all on eggshells with certain members of our community. And there are times when you want to know more, but you worry that you could be offending somebody. So we bring somebody into the studio who is brave and courageous enough to answer the questions that people want to ask. And of course, ask with respect and ask because we're curious. So we would love to welcome to the studio Andrew Eklund. Andrew, welcome
Hello.
To the studio. Now, Andrew, you are transgender.
Yes, I am.
And you are, in fact, the director of Transgender Victoria and treasurer of FTM Shed, which is a support group for trans masculine people.
That's right.
You're the big dog.
Oh, there's not enough of us to go around. That's all the truth of it.
Now, the truth is, Andrew, people would meet somebody who's transgender, maybe at a dinner party, out and about, and there'd be questions they'd think, I've always wanted to know this, but I don't want to seem insensitive, and I'm worried about what they'll be offended. But
yeah, it's absolutely fabulous to be here today to answer those sort of things. But if you are at the dinner party, you realise that there's one of me and there's how many billion are you? And everyone who meets me wants to ask this thing they're just curious about. So please go Google it if you really want to know.
Yeah.
Or ring me today when we're in something
okay,
like this.
They're the two things, Google or right now.
You're here in this forum where you're happy for us to ask questions.
Absolutely.
That might even, that they're not meaning to be offensive or we're not just not tiptoeing, we are curious.
Mm.
And I think to start with, you are transgender. You were born a woman.
I was identified female at birth. That's how we say it.
Okay,
there you go.
You've already helped me. Identified as female at birth. Already I can feel I'm creeping along those
eggshells. No,
I'm interested because you are, you have a 24-year-old son.
Yeah, I do.
Now, does your son call you dad or
now, this
mum?
Is a really interesting
one.
My son's got autism, so that adds into the mix, you know, because they're literal people and it can be a tricky one. Now, if we're together in private, I'm still mum, and one of my promises to him was that he never lost a mum. And I don't see a mum as a gendered thing. It's a job. It's something I do. It's a role I do for him. So I've no problem with being his mum. And that's how it is. But he has worked out that if you're in the Baker's Delight, you don't say, "Hey, Mum, I want to," you know,
right?
You know, because it doesn't work. There is a point past which you know, he looks stupid, not me, so he doesn't do it. You know.
Now, speaking of kids, Andy, my daughter asked me a question because she knew that you were coming on this morning, and she said. I said that it was a woman that was born as a woman. Now he's a man. And
identified a female at birth, yep.
Female at birth, yes. And she asked the question, are you attracted to females now that you're a man, or are you a man still attracted to men?
Yeah, good question, because sexuality and gender are two separate things.
Yes.
But for me, I was always attracted to men. And that actually stopped me transitioning because I went back in the 70s, 80s, you didn't have internet to Google it, like I just told people to do. But I was always attracted to men. So like everyone else, I thought that was one of the things that would make me a woman. Like how mad would I have to be to say I was a gay man stuck in a woman's body?
Yes.
But when I transitioned, I didn't change sexuality. I'm still attracted to men.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Question answered.
Yeah. It becomes, I become perceived as gay in the world.
Mm. So, okay, mentally, you're a man in your head.
Yeah.
How did you cope being pregnant?
Absolutely hell.
Really?
It wasn't a planned pregnancy, not that to say that I don't want my son at all.
Yeah.
There was nothing more feminine than being pregnant.
It
pushed hormones through your body that you didn't even know you could make, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I just stayed on the planet for that time. I wasn't in a good mental state. I just worked out pretty much that I was married and that this wasn't going to work because I was transgender, although I didn't have the word yet. And then I got pregnant and I thought, oh no, for me, and it's only for me, there was I couldn't abort because I didn't know if I could live out the other side if I'd done that.
Yep.
So I had to live through it and I did it. And now my son's kept me on the planet, really.
Because sitting here now, you look like a man, I'm just going to say out there, because
fair
you
enough.
Do. And if I was sitting next to you at dinner and you were pregnant, I'd be going, what
well, I didn't look like
here?
This then.
Well, there you go.
No.
This was pre-transition.
Well, another question.
Again, we're all in our safe space here, and this is great.
Yeah. No, so, that was pre-transition, mate.
Andrew, now you knew that you were a man and you wanted to go through with the transition, and I have always wondered, through the physical transition, so there are the things that come with that I'd also love to know about.
Yeah.
But before I ask.
Hair loss,
body transformation.
Gone.
Well, they got to go, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, they don't have to go, technically. Yeah, everyone's
story. Is that an operation?
Story. Yes, it is.
So,
yeah, it's a double mastectomy, just similar, but not exactly the same as a lady who may have breast cancer. You know, you take them off.
Did you, through that process, because that is such a, because I find I can be a confused person at the best of times, and I think a lot of people go through, was there a time, because once you start that process, that is a very serious commitment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Were there times during it that you were unsure?
Absolutely. In terms of what is it going to do to me and how will I actually feel, you do not know until they put the first injection in of testosterone per se, in my case. You have no idea. There is a point where you just have to leap of faith, as I call it, and it's that you cannot know before you've done it. But there are ways through the medical pathways that they take you gently through. It's not irreversible in terms of one shot. You can know, you can come back from that. But you take one step forward and see if it's better. That was my answer to it, because life was hell where it was.
Yeah.
So you just got to go, okay, if I move forward and it gets any better, then I'll keep going. Oh,
this is fascinating. Andrew, you are first participant in Do You Mind if We Ask. You are transgender. We are taking calls now, 13 10 60. And thank you for tolerating our naivety. These are questions that are just we've always wanted to ask.
Sure.
And if there's anything that you'd like to ask, 13 10 60, call now.
Absolutely.
It's a safe space and Andrew is prepared to ask anything you'd like to know.
Yes. Questions along the line like this, Byron. This might be a really stupid question, but...
Go for it.
Female or male toilet?
Oh, I mean, use the male toilet.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd spook the ladies out, wouldn't I? I can't walk into a female toilet. There we go. That just doesn't work.
No, that's true.
Fev's got it.
I got it.
He's putting it down on his notepad as we speak. 131060 is the number. Andrew is here. Do you mind if I ask on being transgender?
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 1019 The Fox.
It's our segment, Do You Mind If I Ask? Now, we're joined by Andrew Eklund, who is transgender and has been wonderful enough to come in here this morning and be asked questions that are awkward. Some may seem inappropriate. Because this is the segment where we ask those things that you want to ask, but you're worried might be offensive or maybe, yeah, sure. Naive. Now, Andrew, you did just say this, and I think it's really important to realise this is a safe space where Andrew has volunteered his time to do this. But remembering that for a lot of transgender people, it's very raw and you shouldn't just ask these questions.
Yeah, the reason there is political correctness is because it hurts some people to have, and because being a minority, if everybody feels they can go up and ask these things, well, you never stop answering really personal stuff.
And they are very personal, and you've been very brave to take on these questions because there's some coming through now, like what Marianne's about to ask, and I think a lot of people will be interested to know the answer. Marianne in East Keilor, hi.
Hi.
Marianne, what would you like to ask Andrew?
I'd like to ask, I know that it's possible to go from male to female genitals, but is it actually possible to go from female to male? And if so, how does that sort of work?
Yeah, it is possible. This is the sort of question you wouldn't ask your mate, so I'm glad you've rung the radio to do it. Yeah, the thing about it is it costs a hell of a lot of money because it's about three operations, not just one, and it's very complex. You're looking at $98,000 about. So when people say, oh, if you don't get the surgery, you couldn't possibly be serious about yourself. Well, hey, where's your $98,000? You know, and there's not any cover. This is not done at all on the public system. It's not a matter of waiting in a queue. You pay or you don't get. And in Australia, we've only had a surgeon doing the female to male surgeries, if you like, the lower surgery for about 6 months. So it really wasn't an option. We had to go overseas and then you've got recovery time and you've got to pay for your accommodation on top of all of that. And it's almost impossible. But yes, it is doable. They do them in the burn wards because of the grafting. You need to extend the urethra, so you need the skills that those surgeons have got. It's very high, complex surgery.
Well, thank you for answering that, Andrew. Pam, and thanks for the question, Marianne. Pam in Narre Warren South. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Peppy. Hey, how are you going?
Yeah, good. What would you like to ask Andrew?
Andrew, I just wanted to know, are you issued with another birth certificate after you've transitioned?
It changes from state to state, depends on what state in Australia you are, because all the law is depending on each state. And in Victoria, you cannot get a new, you can't change your gender on your birth certificate unless you have sterilising surgery, basically. The law states I have to have surgery to my reproductive organs for the purpose of passing as the opposite gender. Now, that's a mouthful in itself, isn't it?
It is.
And they tell me if I've had the chest off, well, is that reproductive organs? No, they're secondary reproductive organs. So, in effect, I've got to have a hysterectomy to do that. So I ask the question, does every woman who's had a hysterectomy now a man, you know, like how does this help me pass? It's the opposite
surely
gender.
Surely that changes, doesn't it?
You know, it's a silly law.
Yeah.
And we tried to get it changed last year in the government, in the state government, and it failed by one vote. So we haven't been able to get that through. There are people who can get that done. If you have a hysterectomy, I can get it done. But I've also still got to be single. Even though we've got marriage equality here now, not totally for trans people. If I'm married to my partner and I want to change my gender through births, deaths and marriages, we have to divorce. It's a hangover from a law that was before, but to prevent us being a same-sex couple. But now that the law's changed, they've still got a year before the state has to change their laws to come in line with it. So it's pretty complex.
Yeah, it is.
And it means I've still got a female birth certificate, which you say, does that matter? Well, yeah, it does, because that means my death certificate comes out female, which means my super won't get released unless it matches, so I can't change my super.
That needs to be fixed.
So now my gender at the tax office is male, but on my super it's female, so if I need to change any records, it doesn't match, so I've got to go into the office to do anything. We get stuck in these ID binds where... where things don't match.
Pam, thanks for your call. We appreciate that one on 13
yes.
1060.
And Andrew, just thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thanks
for your
Andy.
Time.
No worries.
For, you know, we blew out the cobwebs there, asked some questions that might be considered taboo or inappropriate, but there are just things that I guess are burning on people's minds and that they shouldn't necessarily, as you just said, Andrew, ask their transgender friends.
Yeah, don't go up and ask your trans mates.
This was a forum to do that.
It's either here or, as Andrew says, on Google. And look, this is a great resource, and Andrew obviously is, in fact, the executive director of this group. This is where you should go for legit information. TransgenderVictoria.com will have all sorts of information and a lot of the answers to the questions that you were asking Andrew today. TransgenderVictoria.com. Andrew, again, we appreciate your time
Cheers.
This morning.
Thanks, mate.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 1019, The Fox.
A Melbourne mother has been reprimanded by her child's school for packing a Lamington in a lunchbox. The Lamington was returned uneaten, along with a note from the kinder. So it's a kindergarten. Saying it just doesn't comply with the school's nutrition policy. The mother was told not to include it in her child's lunch again. I want to start by saying this, Fev, just quickly. Absolutely. We as parents and as educators have the responsibility to educate our children on nutrition, on health, and making sure they make the right choices. And we are given the job of packing lunches, and if we deem it appropriate to give our child a treat or a Lamington, then we should be able to. If I was, I'd want to pull my child out of that kinder.
Yeah, straight
out. That is infuriating me.
Now, the only say a school or a kindergarten has in lunches is nuts.
Because of the allergies,
fair enough. Because a kid might... be allergic to anything to do with nuts, fair enough. Cut that off. But this is becoming a job for mums and dads throughout the day to pack the right lunch. Our kids can't have plastic. Nothing can be in plastic. We'll teach the kids at school to put it in the bin if they're worried about litter.
In the recycling bin.
In the recycling bin. Have a chore. Don't go telling us we can't have packets of chips. That Lamington's got 46 calories.
It's a Lamington.
It's a Lamington.
And do you know what, Fev, on
that? That poor kid didn't get to eat that
day. I grew up in a family. My granny was a baker. My mum's a baker. I am now a baker. That's questionable. But anyway, I love that. I loved when granny or mum would give me, you know, a slice that they'd made or something. I had that as a treat in my lunch. Bringing my daughter up like that. On the weekend, I made a cake with Trixie, and I admit, on Monday when I was packing her lunch for kinder, I cut a slice off it and then thought, oh, am I allowed to give her this? And I actually thought to myself, why am I questioning a handmade cake that I made with love and I wanted to put a small slice in? I shouldn't even question it, but that's the nanny state we now live in.
It's a joke.
It's ridiculous. Even with tuck shops or lunch orders, my kids love lunch orders. I love lunch orders. When we were at school, we used to line up and get your meat pie, your donut, your chocolate Big M, your hot dog. Their lunch order menu now, they don't get lunch orders. Sushi roll with cucumber. Blech. Who wants to eat that for lunch?
Well, see, this is a
thing. Line up and get your donut. Line up and get your meat pie.
Okay.
Line up and get your hot dog.
You're taking it
once
further
a week,
than I was.
But that's
I
all right.
Know. Look, I actually agree with you. I grew up having my sandwiches and eating a very healthy meal. And I didn't buy all that
Probably
food.
But carrot juice.
The point is, I don't know if tuck shops in the school want to have food at their canteens that they deem appropriate, fine. But what I'm putting in my lunch for my daughter... No, I'm sorry.
Surely.
A Lamington.
Can I ask a question?
I reckon we make a Lamington. Tomorrow, everyone pack Lamingtons in their kids' lunches.
Okay,
let's make it
in
Lamington
protest.
Day.
I just want to ask you two, because Zephyr, my boy, is in LA and Lamingtons are not an American thing at all. What's happened to the old school Lamington drive? Do they still happen? The schools used to raise money by selling bloody Lamingtons.
Let's bring it back. Fev and I are saying tomorrow.
Let's have a Lamington
protest,
drive.
Every parent put a Lamington in their kids' lunchbox. Nothing wrong with
they have
a Lamington.
Celery and carrot day.
131060. We have opened the lines. We've already got Brett from Melton. Hi, Brett.
How's it going?
Good, Brett. Are you fired up on behalf of the Lamington?
I think it's a joke.
Bang.
You send your kids to school with all the healthy stuff. Like, my daughter's just started prep, and she goes to school. She's got her fresh celery, grapes, strawberries, usually a nice ham and cheese sandwich, and her treat for school is one little square Lamington in a lunchbox.
Yes. Oh, Brett.
This is a joke.
And if anything, we're defending a national treasure at the same time. It's a Lamington.
Okay, we'll come back to some more calls. There's plenty of passion out there, Fief, on 131060, or we can even push through a couple more now. And
why not?
And close the book on what is a very important topic here on the Fox.
Amy's on the line. Are you there, Amy?
Yes, I'm here. Hi. How you going, guys?
Good, Amy. How do you feel about this being told what to give your kids for lunch?
I just packed my 4-year-old just out of kinder. I have no idea what to pack in for lunch, so I packed in some chocolate cake that I made yesterday.
Yes.
Great. Well, Amy, I hope they don't turn up in the lunchbox with a note saying you're a bad parent at the end of the day.
Probably.
No.
Unbelievable.
Who cares?
No.
YOLO.
YOLO! We just got a YOLO.
We hope you loved that Fifi, Fem and Byron catch-up. You'll also love ultra-fast NBN with iPrimus on supercharged speed for 24 months. Or you can leave within 30 days with no termination fees. Visit iPrimus.com.au.